Will that Makoro sheet come out every...
Yeah, it was supposed to come out first thing this morning, but I accidentally left it home. So I'll print it up during lunch. I have to wait for my wife to go home and email it to me. Okay. I meant to bring it here. Anyway, I'll put it in the box during lunch. Okay. So it was a bit of a shorter shiur last night. And it was fairly straightforward. So we started with basically background to what's going on in Cheskas Avatar. So first we contrasted it. Cheskas Avatar is about Karka. What's the story with Metaltalin? Meaning you have a Marakama and a Machzik. What happened to the Metaltalin? So everybody knows that in Metaltalin, the Machzik wins. Whoever's holding it currently wins. Why? So Rav Lifsing pointed out that there's, contemporary chronicle like to point this out, that there's two reasons why. If I'm holding Metaltalin that used to belong to you, there's actually two reasons why I win. One is a Biber. Yeah, you can prove from various sugars and shas that there are two reasons, Lachar. One is a Biber. If I'm holding on to it, that proves that it must be mine, otherwise how did I get it? That's Mitzad Biber. And then, there's a matter of status quo. Since I'm right now holding it, separate from the fact that proves that I must have bought it or somehow validly, legally acquired it from you, since the status quo is that I'm holding it now, so we should let that status quo continue until proven otherwise, that's the rule of Hamotzi Mechal Varaya. Hamotzi Mechal Varaya is not a Bira. It is just a rule. There is a... there's room to be choker, whether that rule is a rule of how Bezdin paskins or is a rule of how Bezdin doesn't paskin.
But it's an indication that there is something called the status quo.
Right. It's an interesting question. Status quo means Bezdin will paskin based on the status quo, or rather Bezdin will be silent and allow the status quo to continue. That's a big chakira, but not for now. The Rav Lifsing just pointed out that Hamotzi Mechal Varaya is not necessarily an ironclad rule. First of all, sometimes you might say that whoever's holding it physically is not necessarily called the status quo mochzuk. And second of all, sometimes there might be cases where, even though normally we say whoever's the status quo wins and the other guy has to prove it, there might be some cases where we for various reasons, meaning for local reasons, for logical reasons, we might switch the rule. Like, for example, Ksubas Da'ayin Vav, famous sugya, this long Shev Shmaitz about this. That Misha Nimtza, what's the lush? Kosha Nolan Asaf Rishuso Olav Haraya, meaning if I sell you something, or the parallel case of Kedushin, whatever, and if the mum is discovered when it's in my house, then I have to prove that it was, I want to prove that it came more recently. The mum is discovered in your house, you have to prove that it was there a long time ago. Basically, whoever's Rishus, the mum is discovered, has to prove
and does it matter
when the mum came into existence. And that's, we didn't get into that sugya at all. That's a whole sugya which we're not getting into. It's just an example of something. There are other rules about who you put the raya on, other than just based on the status quo, which he's just pointing out, like, you should just know, this is a total tangent for us, but you should just know that's not the only rule in the Torah of who has to bring a raya. Sometimes there are other factors which might be other stronger rules as to who has to bring the raya. But again, that was a total tangent on our part. The main point was just that we introduced in the Metaltalin two big advantages of the guy holding it, which may explain why he wins over the Marakama. Now, then we, Im Kvar, we're talking about, Metaltalin, I'll just be malakate from later in the shiur, and there are certain exceptions. There are cases we mentioned throughout the shiur where the machzik is not neman on metaltalin, where the marakama is neman on metaltalin. One of these cases is shvuas daf mem vav. It's actually not clear whether you weren't shvuas daf mem vav is actually saying this or not, but that's what we paskin. Durim asurin lahashul lahaskir. Right, I'm not neman on the rental car, even though I'm machzik it, or the rental tux, or vechuli. And then we had a big chakira that we mentioned once in Shir and then came back to later in Shir as to what the nature of Dvarim Asuyin L'Hashul L'Haskir. Why do I lose in Dvarim Asuyin L'Hashul L'Haskir? So we had this chakira. Well, the simple reason is, and this is rather true, is because it doesn't make sense that I bought it. It makes sense that you lent it to me or rented it to me. So, and mitzad, the specific taina, it's evidence that it's more likely that I rented it because it's barma suyin lahashal lahaskir. So that's clearly true, right? So that's why if I say that I own the rental car and the Hertz or Avis says that I rented it, then they win because it's mistaber. The question is, do we go further than that? Would we say that besides the specific histabrus of she'ela uschiros, would we say that by its nature, it's like a slippery item? The holding on, even one step everyone agrees with, it's mistaber that there was she'ela uschiros. But would we go further? Would we say, once this is the kind of thing that nishal v'niskar, whoever's holding on to it isn't really holding on to it. There's no such thing as holding on to it. It's a fluid, slippery kind of thing, which is flitting around, and you can't really ever call yourself a tofes or a muchzuk on it. So does it more generally undermine the muchzuk, even above and beyond the issue of she'ela uschiros?
In the context,
nishal v'niskar. What? Dvar ma'asuin Right, Tvarmasun Lahashal Haskir, would you go even further? What would be the nafkamina?
Well, you know, we go the other direction as well, then. Even Hertz, you know, can't claim the same type of ownership.
No, because they can prove they're the Marahama. Meaning, Hertz can prove they bought it from Ford. Right? Yeah. That's their... Right, they, not only that, they can prove that they owned it, they bought it, they owned it at a certain point, and subsequently have been renting it out. So that's a big time, you know. At the very least, that's more common. So the nafkamina would be one thing he mentioned, but he didn't bring down the shitas for. But for example, what if the marakama tain is something that's not she'ela uschiros? Right? What if, you know, I'm holding the tux for them and I claim that it's mine, and the tux company doesn't say they rented it to me. They say, oh, we just, like, asked you to bring it to our other store for us as a favor. It's not at all mistaber that time is necessarily correct. It's not terribly likely. It's not any more likely. But the question is, would we say now I win because they have no special claim against me? Or do we say no? It changes the nature of the muhzakas. You can't be muhzak. You can't have a tfis on a slippery thing as asuin lahash lahaskir. Therefore, it's as if I'm not holding it. If it's as if I'm not holding it, then it goes back to the markam. That would be one nafkamina. The other nafkamina, thank you.
Dvarim ha'asuyim lahashil ule haskir. Our keyword was, what's special about dvarim ha'asuyim lahashil haskir? Is it just that it's likely that it was mush'al u'muskar, or is it also that you can't be machzik them? By its nature, they're different type of items, and holding, they're just not things that are held onto because they flit around. Things that flit around, you can't consider yourself to be holding on to. I can't hold on to air, because it's always flowing all over the place. So you can't hold, it looks to the naked eye like you could hold on to them, but you can't really be holding on to them. So one nafkamina might be, what about if the marakama claims, you know, pikadon, etc. Or anything but she'elu schemas. So if the uniqueness of Asun Lahash Lahaskir is just a raya for someone who says she'elu schiras, then the muchzuk should win. Because now they have no special power to their claim. Right? The tux store has no special power why they should believe it. They asked me to carry it to their other store because I was going there anyway. You know? But if it's that my muchzuk is undermined because I'm not really holding it, then the marakama should win. The other nafkamina, which we came back to later in the shir, was the machlokas Rambam and Ravid about whether the marakama has to swear.
Does the Marakam have to swear if he's taken away from Yisomim? If Yisomim have a daughter, right, Reuven dies, and his kids take over the Hertz rental car. And his kids say, look, for all we know, maybe our father bought it from Hertz. And Hertz says, what do you mean? You rented it from us. So, Vavanda, Hertz wins. Storm Rasuin Lahasha Lahaskir. Right? But there's a rule, Hanifra Mina Yisomim, Lo Yiparel B'Shvur, right? Because it was Dafei Zayin or wherever it is, a few other places in Shas. So what about someone who if you win Dvarim Ha'asuyin V'Huli from Yisomim? So are you really a motzi from Yisomim and you have to swear or not? So the Ravid says, that the Hertz company is now a motzi from the Yisomim. The Yisomim are mochzik in this car. It so happens that the Hertz company can motzi for them. Why? Because there's a strong proof that it really was rented. Because in Varmasu and Lahash Lahasker, it's very, very, very likely that it was rented. So therefore, the Hertz company has a good right to be motzi from the Yisomim. But they're still being motzi from Yisomim, even if I bring a Shtar Makuyim from Yisomim, I have to swear. Even though I have a good right. When you're motzi from Yisomim with a good right, you still have to swear. However, the Rambam says that you are potter from a Shvua or the Yesh Omen. Right? That's whether or not you swear Hesses is not important for us. But basically, you're a potter from a real Shvu. You don't have to take an actual, Takanas, Hamishnah, Shvua. Why? Because you're not a motzi from Yisomim. Why isn't Hertz being motzi from Yisomim? So obviously, the Rambam holds because the Yisomim aren't really holding on to the car. Oh, they're holding on to the car. No, because you can't really be machzak in a davar asay lahash lahaskir. So that should be another nafkamina of this Chakira. Okay. That was by way of metalphalin. So we introduced the basic concepts of metalphalin, then we talk about exceptional metalphalin.
Does Rambam say that it's a yesh? Does Rambam say it's a yesh omen? Does Rambam say that in the case
Rambam,
of a taina that he has, that he would have to make a shua, where in the case of that taina, he would be put for making a shua? Okay.
The Rambam says, the two deos are if he doesn't have a taimis vada. If he does have a taimis vada, the Rambam admits there's a hesis. But the two deos in the Rambam is if there's no taimis vada in part of the Yisomim.
He says the Yisomim?
He says you don't have to swear. If there's a tainus vada, you swear hesses. And yesh omrim that you have to swear hesses. Yeah, sounds like yesh omrim without a tainus vada. Far be arnushi yesh me, something like that.
Yeah.
He doesn't use the word yesh omrim, okay. But he does use the word far be arnushi yesh me shahorashi shavu alvais hesses v'achar yafsu kelim yadu yorish ain't daiti no kolazeh. So he says yesh omrim. I don't agree. That's coming out without a tainus vada. Okay, with a tainus vada, you always have to swear hesses. Then clearly, yesh omrim are no worse off than anyone else. We're talking here without it. The Ravid says without Tainus Vaday, the rule of Nifrim Nisomrim, Lo Yipar El B'Shvush was HaMishnah, actually Mishnah. That is, right, Shvush HaMishnah has been Kitas Chafetz, you actually have to put your hand on Sefer Torah or B'Chuli. So Shvush Hesis, later to Kana the Yamarah, very, very light kind of Shvua, exactly what it means is a Bing Lachush Rishonim, but not for us now. So that's by way of Metalphalin. Just to throw in some other examples, Agav, are there other examples of Metalphalin where the Marakama wins? One is Dvarim Hasuyin Lahash Lahaskir. Two is Bavasadaf and Bezim and Aleph. I mean, most people understand the beginning of the Mishnah. Nein Lahem Chazaka. Right? The Korean guy at the dry cleaners. Right? Is not named to say it's his suit. Because everyone brings their suits to the dry cleaners. And the, I think you mentioned a little later, a third example of Godrus. Right? Godrus Ein Lahem Chazaka. Later in our Sugindaf, Lam Vavim and Aleph. Animals that wander around the street. That wander freely in the street, Ein Lahem Chazaka, because anyone who grabs them could have just you know, anyone could just grab them, so it doesn't mean anything. Again, you can probably leave some little hakiras there, but we didn't get into that now. That is by way of metaphor. Now let's get into the real topic of our perek, which is karka. So forget Dvar Masrin L'Hashel L'Hasker for now, forget Gojos for now, forget Umnin for now. The general rule by Metalkalin is, regular Metalkalin, just a Reuven and a Shimon, that if this was always Reuven's coat, Mikad Nastada, and now Shimon's wearing it, Shimon wins. What we see in our mission is not that way. This is always Reuven's house, Midori Doros, and now Shimon's losing in it. Living in it, Shimon doesn't win unless he's been there 3 years. All of a sudden, he needs 3 years instead of 1 millisecond. What accounts for the difference in Karka Metalkalin? And here we had basically a two-way Chakira as to why, not necessarily why 3 years. That might, you know, we'll get back to it. It might make it a little more complicated. It might be more than two explanations of exactly how we came up with 3 years. But why Karka is not Mochsik Miyad? Right? Why is there no Chazaka La'alter by Karka like Metalkalin? So there are two basic approaches. One approach is based on the comments of the Ramban, really seems to be on Dafman Beis and Alpha, that Mishnah boom. Then it's not so clear to me how this works out with all the Rashbams at the beginning of the parak, but really does seem to be what he's saying there at the very least. Is that fundamentally they're the same. Fundamentally, Karka and Tafman are the same. If I'm holding it, I win. But has a side problem of Achrei Shtorah. Right? This is what the Rashbam seems to say. The Rashbam says, it's a tangent there. It says, why in Metalkalin am I Mochsik right away in Karka I need 3 years? Oh, because in Metalkalin I usually buy it without Edom and Shtar. Meaning, so, you can't say, where's your Edom and Shtar? Do you get it? But by Karka, I usually buy with Edom and Shtar. So if it's really mine, where's my Edom and Shtar? Up and after 3 years, we know in our Gemara, Chavtesim and Aleph, that I might have lost my Shtar. So this is Rashbam, Amdaf Mem Beis and Aleph. This is also somewhat famous to us as the Rilutzni didn't quote them, I'm sure we'll get to them, as the Ramban and the Ritva, right, take this approach. The Ramban is only Amdaf Mem Beis and Aleph, totally coincidental, different line Mem Beis and Aleph. Totally different sugya, and the Ritva is both enough in Beis Amin Aleph and enough of Tess Amin Aleph. But the Ramban and the Ritva and the Rashbam enough in Beis Amin Aleph say really should be Mosek right away in Karka, just like Metalkalin. But you have a side problem that I've been on this land for only 1 year, and I should be Mosek right away. They say, hold on, if it's your land, where's your shtar? If it's your boat, we understand why you don't have a shtar. If it's your cow, you understand why you don't have a star. But if it's your land, shouldn't you have a star? And within 3 years, no one is stupid enough to lose their star. Therefore, I'm a proven liar because I don't have a star. That's Achrei Shtorah. Where did this come from in the Gemara? Even though it's not Mefurish in the original Gemara in the beginning of the Perek, it comes up in a totally different context. On Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, you have a factor thrown in that is not found in most of these Torah and Nitzan Sugis and Shas, which is L'chotzef Inish L'migzer Dikla Delav. Delay. Forgot to mention. But let's get into this whole effect some studies a little later. Why would no one lose their shtar within 3 years? Could be because they actually know the halacha and know that they needed to win in Bezdin. Or it could just be everyone has an intuition that you should hold on to the shtar. Okay, well, that's really not important until we see the nafkaminas of it. But getting back to this, so the Gemara says that if a guy says, I'm going to go, it's a bit of a machlokes on exactly what they're talking about, but I'm going to go cut down Noah's dekel, so I'm believed because I don't have the chutzpah to just go the farhes and cut down someone else's dekel without permission. Likewise, if I live in his land for 2 years, and I say, oh, I just bought the payros, not my land, totally not my land, I just paid him for the right to eat the payros for 2 years, I believe, because the person wouldn't have the chutzpah to eat someone else's payros without permission. He said, hold on a second. So if I claim I bought the land, I should also be believed, because I wouldn't have the chutzpah to eat the payros if I hadn't bought the land. He said, no. If I just claim I bought the payros, then I'm believed because, like, I bought the payros. I shouldn't have a shtar. People don't have shtaris on payros. But if I said I bought the land, I'm not believed because I should have a shtar. That is exactly, seems to be mefurish, this principle. Lamed Gimel and Beis, that I'm believed in Peiros because I have no counter, I have no side problem. I'm not believed in Karkar because I have a side problem of Achvei Shtarich. Here we got into, there's two ways to understand the difference between between shtar and metaltalin, karka and metaltalin. Karka has a shtar, metaltalin doesn't have a shtar. What do we mean by metaltalin doesn't have a shtar? Right? Why is there no shtar in metaltalin? So there are two ways to understand that. It could just be not the minute to write shtar metaltalin, or it could be it's halachically impossible. Right, when we say, the Gemara there says, shtar l'peirlo of the inshi, you don't make a shtar from a tafla. Right, so, is that just mean the minigal olam, sociologically, people don't write shtars from a tafla? Or does that mean halachically, shtars are not shayach to a tafla? Why should halachically shtars be not shayach to a tafla? I understand you can become a tafla with a shtar, it's mashicha. But why can't you make a shtar raya from a tafla? So it could be because, as Rishonim say in a few places, eshel asaimam b'shtar, karka has unique identifiers. You can give it latitude and longitude, or whatever the equivalent was in those days.
It's mass produced.
What?
I think it could be mass produced.
And metaphor, even if they're not mass produced, it's hard to uniquely identify them. Right? A shirt, how are you going to write in the star which shirt it is? There are many shirts that look the same. So, karka, this is actually big, right? Fascinating, right? Reminds us of the Ram of the beginning of the Sefer Torah, of all those theological hakiras there. How do you have unique identifiers? But karka can have a unique identifier. There's only one piece of karka that's described by these words. So I can write a shtar and the words describe the karka. By metaphlin, it doesn't work. This shtender, there's no way to write words that only describe this one shtender, so a shtar is just fundamentally not shaykh. Okay, well, Lessing pointed out that, you know, you could come up with exceptions if you want, especially nowadays. You know, we've come up with all kinds of tricks of trying to write star on certain metaphlin like cars, etc. But it doesn't matter. Be'ikaron, you know, and the basically you could just attach identifying numbers to metaphlin and do a trick. But be'ikaron, that's just the trick. Really, metaphlin cannot be uniquely identified with words. Karka and avodim can. And that's why, so that's the halachically impossible. Or you could say, no, you would try your, and who holds that shita, that it's halachically impossible? We pointed out that this is the Ritva and the Rashba. The Rashba in the end might really perhaps change his mind, but this is the Ritva and the Rashba on Daf Ayin Vav, as well as the Yad Ramah on Daf Lamed Vav. They say it's impossible, it's just halachically invalid. There is no such halachic concept as a shtar that talks about metaltalin. As opposed to the Rashbam on Daf Ayin Vav and Rashi and Shavuos Daf Ayin Vav and Beis, before she can write a shtar metaltalin. Rashi says, oh, Dvar Masudin Lahash Lahaskar, you should write a shtar for them. So it's before she can have a shtar for metaltalin. Oh, it's hard to uniquely identify. Oh, you do the best you can. Okay. Try your hardest and hope it works. And the Rashbam and the Ayin Vav is not as mefurish. The Rashbam and the Ayin Vav, the Gemara says, why do you have a shtar for a sphina? So the Rashbam, if it says, means shtars and sphinos just don't apply to it. The shtar doesn't apply to sphina. The Rashbam says, oh, why do you need a shtar just because of Mashiach? Sounds like fundamentally you could have a shtar, it's just that you don't need it every time. But fundamentally you could, while the Rashbam and the Ritva say fundamentally you can't. Okay, so that's a machlokas. Now, this is all within one way of understanding. Yeah?
Rashbam and Rashi said it's one minhag.
Yeah, because Rashi actually Mufur says in some cases we would write a shtar metaltalin. So what he just means is that, you know, usually we don't write shtar on metaltalin. Usually the minig is not to have a shtar metaltalin, but sometimes the minig is to have a shtar metaltalin. A nafkamina of this tzad would be that if you said the difference is whether there's a race of shtar or not, then it's not really different than karka metaltalin. Is really different things with the shtar and things without a shtar. If you would find metaltalin with a shtar, it would have the rule of Gimel Shanim. And if you find karka without a shtar, it would have the rule of Chazaka Miyad. Right, we haven't mentioned any specific examples yet, but one can imagine that we might come across them in the parak.
Karka comes without, there are types of karka that come without shtars, you think?
If you could imagine some case where, I mean, just let's give a crazy example. Let's say there's a certain town where no one wrote shtars on the karka, then there would be chazaka right away. I'm not claiming there is one. Or let's say you had some funny type of, let's say, without getting into to Cheskes Tashmishin, let's assume that for just a right of easement on Karka, no one ever writes Shtaros. Then the Chazak would be right away. Which is, in fact, what many Rishonim say for precisely that logic. Even though it's technically Karka. But it, you know, but people only write Shtaros on Guf Karkas, not on Shibude Karka. Okay, and we'll see. Nafmin is the other way also, according to Rashi, that Rashi claims that it's the minute to write Shtaros on Dvar Masuim Lahash Lahaskir, you would then come to the conclusion that the Chazak is 3 years, which many Rishonim do. Okay, the other approach, of course, is that there is a fundamental difference between Karka and Matan Mepalbulin. It's not a side problem of Achbe Shtar. There is a fundamental difference. What is the fundamental difference? So I've literally said one formulation which he thought was going too far, which he did not think was fair, was that there is no such thing as muchzakus on karka. You can't hold karka, right? You can hold metaltalin. You can grab, you can grasp, right? Metaltalin. You can't grasp a house. The house can grasp you. Now, Rav Lizzi said he thinks that is going too far. You can't say there's no such thing as muchzakus on karka. He thinks that's going a little far. There are various sugyas where you can prove that there, according to most interpretations, that there are some. But what he wants to say a little better is that someone says he wouldn't go that far. But he would say the same basic idea, the fundamental difference, that the concept of muchzak on karka is very weak because you can't hold it.
Is that similar to saying halakhically impossible?
What?
Is that similar to saying that it's halakhically impossible?
No, that was what I erased, meaning there's halakhically impossible to talk about muchzakas on karka. There is no halakhically concept of muchzakas on karka. But Lutz says he wouldn't go that far. He thinks that's oversimplified. There is some concept of muchzakas on karka, but it's not as strong as in metalkalin. Right now, he didn't specify, probably later in the year, like for Path, maybe you'd have the Hamos Mitzvah of Arayah side without the Kalmash Tafs, the other one's not reading the Shalom side, or maybe it would just be a weaker beer instead of a stronger beer, or maybe it would be, you know, a status quo of withdrawal of Bezdin instead of a status quo of Psaka Bezdin, without, he didn't say, he left himself open to define later on exactly in what way and how much it's weaker, but that's, he felt more comfortable rather than saying black and white, to say that by metaltalin, you hold on to metaltalin, there's a serious concept of muchzak. By karka, there's no serious concept of muchzak, and that's why you don't have a chazaka right away. That's why you need 3 years. Why does even 3 years help? So we'll come up with some explanation. Kayadua, hopefully we've seen, there's shown in lots of potential explanations. Now, one second. You can't really possess karka. Now, he had a suffix. Should we or shouldn't we connect it to question mark?
But isn't that only seeing one side of the issue? Isn't the Mari Kama always retains his possession of the karka? It's Neil Guy who doesn't have the chazaka, but that only means that the first, the Mari Kama's chazaka on the karka is even stronger.
Okay, you're right. So let's just say the concept of possession of the karka is very weak.
Dispossession.
Right. I'm trying to remember if I used this other words he used. Concept of possession. Meaning Marakama is not possession. Marakama is Lakora Khazaka's main car. Right? Marakama is Khazaka like the meaning of Kulin, right? Everything's right, the animal's kosher, it's kosher until proven otherwise. Girls are basula, she's a basula until proven otherwise. The nation ish until proven otherwise. So the Marakama is the Marakama, the Mara. The owner is the owner until proven otherwise. That would apply Givaldic to Karka. That's called Tarku Lechazakame Karka, Lechabora. But the idea of possession, whoever's holding on to it, possesses it, that's very weak by Karka for the simple reason you can't hold it. This may or may not be connected to the rule of Karka in an exelis. Or rather, is it connected to the rule of karka in an exelus? So this depends on the machlokas between Tosos and he didn't mention the other side, but all the way yeshivas, it's usually the pointed out Tosos versus the attack of, I mean, it's really machlokas shonim, the attack of Rav Yehuda Nagilian Ashas on Sukkah Daf Lamed. The Gufa starts getting to the boxing ring with Tosos on this issue. What does it mean karka in an exelus? So there are two ways to explain karka in exelus. Tosos in Bab Metzia Daf Samach Aleph. According to Tosfos, yes, it is connected. According to, let's call it the Gilgan Ashas, although Rav Lichtenstein didn't quote it by name, no. Why? Because they argue what karka in an exelus means. Tosfos says, you know what karka in an exelus means? Means you karka in an exelus because you can't pick it up and take it anywhere. Meaning karka in an exelus because you can't pick it up and take it with you. So then that's the same idea as there's no chazaka because you can't pick it up and take it with you. So then those two principles should be connected. Rabbi Kiva Egan Nagilian Ashas, no, karka in an exelus, because it's like Xeris Akasman Achalos karka. It's like Xeris Akasman Achalos karka, then it's not an exelus. And therefore, that has nothing to do with us when we're actually talking about holding karka or not. So again, if karka in exelus is like Xeris Akasman Achalos karka, then that has nothing to do with what we're talking about. But if, like Tosos, karka in an exelus means, I didn't tell you, you're all thinking of the, you know, the Rav Chaim ben Avodin, and it might be Tzveidinim, and the Avodin would split the difference. But if karka in exelus means, just practically, you can't gazel karka, because you can't take it, you can't hold it, hold on to it, then that's the same idea as we're saying here. You can't be possessed karka, you can't win because of Mufzak's on karka, because you can't hold on to it. So if you took Tosas derech, then you would probably want to equate the rule of Gimel Shanim, basically anything that's not Nigzal has Cheskes Gimel Shanim. Anything that is Nigzal has Chazaka Miyad. And then you'd have some interesting question, like what about Godros? Godros or Nigzal, yet there's no Chazaka Miyad. That would be something you'd have to work out. And what about a house? Tosos. Shvuz Mbezim Mbezim Mesopik, whether a house, meaning Tolosh Lvasof Chibro. Right? You take Tolosh building materials, you attach them to the ground. Tosos Mesopik, whether that's Nigzal or not. Or at least I think that may be his application. Definitely, so we got the status. So, but we all know Cheskes Abatim Achor is Cheskes Gimel Shanim. So you'd have to see if the details worked out or not, and you might have to work to get them to work out. But or you could just say, no, forget it. Karkish and Exels go with Gilgun Ashas. Karkish and Exels Zeres Akasav. Nothing to do with us, and therefore not bother. You wouldn't have to be bothered to make sure that all the details are the same. Okay, those are. But basically, what we've introduced now is, or what Aaron did, is he gives some background about Matalpul and Kiya Gavna, and he introduced two basic ways of understanding why Cheskes Habatim is different from Cheskes HaMatalpulin. What he didn't do yet, he's going to get to next week, is why 3 years? Right? I mean, it's sort of obvious within this approach. 3 years is how long you should be holding onto your star, but in this approach, we have no idea why 3 years. I mean, we do, because we've gone ahead in the Gemara, but we have no idea why 3 years, and we'll have to come up with some explanation, which is exactly what we're going to discuss next week, L'chora. And then he pointed out that there's a few things that we're going to get back to, such as the fascinating Machlok Rishonim, we have noticed whether in a case of Cheskes Gimel Shanim, if I've been there for 3 years, do I have to swear Shavuos Hesed or not? That might be very revealing, but this is all, by way, just, you know, foreshadowing. The question of who's the muchzik and who's the motzi in these fights? Is it that, which I think has a lot to do with this, right? Is it that the marakama is trying to be motzi from the muchzik, and if he's been there less than 3 years, he succeeds? Or that the machzik is trying to be motzi from the marakama, and if he lives more than 3 years, he succeeds? Or, as we'll see in the Ramban's Shana Hoche Usha, Gufa, no one's ever motzi. Just within 3 years, in less than 3 years, we view the guy there now trying to motzi from the Rakama, and after we view the Rakama trying to motzi from him, that we'll see in the Ramban that was on the Rakorshi. And then we mentioned briefly, but we didn't, we're going to have to get back to this, Hamotzi Mechal Varaya, is it a Svara or a Zerzakasov? That's in Hamfor Sugi and Babakam and Vav. The Havmi is that it's a Zerzakasov, Mibalfor and Gashal Lehem. Where it says, no, it's a Svara. Obviously, whoever wants a result has to go convince Benjamin to accomplish the result. And they make say the Pasuk must mean something else. So Shad of the Sugi is that Havmin is a pure Svara. There is, I mean, Rav Aaron is saying this theoretical possibility that it's found in Rishonim and Achronim, even though it seems a little dogma.
Why does that mean that it's a pure Svara?
No, sorry. Pshat in the Gemara, maybe I misspoke, is that it's a pure Svara, is that we reject the Pasuk and just Svara. Pshat in the Gemara is just a Svara, but it's not just a theoretical weird possibility Ryan's bringing up. It's in the Rishonim and Achronim, the possibility that maybe even the Maskana, it's a Svara improved by a Pasuk, and that's going to make a difference in a few cases, whether in the end it's pure Svara or it's a Svara plus Pasuk, and then the Pasuk will be beefing it up more than we just. I mean, the afternoon is it only what we know Misvara, the Maskana to Svara, or no? The Maskana to Svara, but it's also things that we wouldn't have known Misvara. It's more powerful than we would have thought Misvara because of the Pasuk. And that is a big issue in the Rishonim.
Or the Pasuk can limit it and qualify it.
Okay, I haven't seen that sheet in the Rishonim, although theoretically one could hold that way. But Rav Lutzi didn't mention I haven't seen the Rishonim, which doesn't mean that it's not possible. Okay, that's what we discussed last night.
I'll take a look. It's only limiting it to the Svara expansion.
Well, no, that's the assumption. The assumption is that the Svara is more expansive.
It's not limiting it in and of itself.